I live with good nature and good sense. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with instant illumination. I live with good nature and good sense. That's kind of nice. I live with good nature and good sense. I was talking to one of our students on the phone this morning, and he's having trouble with his girlfriend. Of course, we seem to have a lot of students who are having trouble with their girlfriend or boyfriends right now. And this student said, well, she promised me this, and she promised that, and she promised the other thing. And I said, hey, you're working with a woman, you know. Women can change their mind as often as they want, and they do. And they change their mind, and they really have a great time in changing their mind. They love it. And, of course, men don't do that, though. Men never change their mind. Men are always standing up for whatever they said they're going to do and are always doing it, you know, 100 million percent. So I told him, why don't you create her as the type of lady that you admire? Create her as a beautiful, caring lady who enjoys your company and you enjoy her company, and you're the master, you're the creator. You don't have to create her doing anything against her desire for herself, but just create her as a beautiful person. And then stop acting like a little baby when you don't get what you want. When you don't get what you want, that means your creation was not quite up to par. You didn't do your work quite properly. So that's the time to change. And when you live with a good nature and a good sense, you know exactly what to do. You know exactly how to speak to one another. You know exactly the words to use. And yes, she's telling you she has other friends, and you are away, and you will be away for who knows how long. And so her life does go on. And before she met you, she had other friends too. And when she met you, she said she had other friends, and would that be okay with you if she had other friends that while you're sharing together, you know? And he's, oh, yes, that's okay. That's perfectly all right. But she, of course, made the mistake of telling him about the other friends. And it's none of his business. It's none of his business. They have no engagement. They have no wedding plans. They have no one-on-one basis with each other. She's doing her thing, and he's doing his, you know. So I told him very clearly this morning that be yourself and have fun and create her or whoever you're creating as a person you dearly love and who gives you a thrill in your heart every time you think of her, and that whenever you think of her, you see her doing beautiful things that are harmonious with what your world is and so forth, and you watch. If you can do that, she'll be that way. And then he said, but, and I said, if you ever call me again and tell me that your girlfriend isn't wonderful, I said, I'll shoot you. If you ever call me and tell me that things aren't going the way you want them to go, I'll shoot you. Because that's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to call me and tell me that you're putting this cause in motion. And you're putting this cause in motion. And it may not have been manifest yet. It may not have come about in your life yet, but you're putting it in motion. So go for it. Go for it. And stop acting like a silly person who says that I haven't learned how to drive on my first 2 seconds in the lesson, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, that's where you are. You're the first 2 seconds in the lesson of learning the law of cause and effect. You're the first 2 seconds. Work at it. Build up that in your consciousness. Become confident of yourself. Every time we have someone come and learn to drive the golf cart, if they have never done it before, it's a little frightening. Because it's a vehicle that has a mind of its own sometimes. Because sometimes the brakes aren't like they are in a car, which we are aware of, but they're not. And they're not aware of a lot of things. And we are aware of it, and so we are, I don't want to say afraid of it, we are on top of it for them so they don't put themselves in harm's way. And this is a very demanding thing. And they wonder why we lose our temper sometimes when they don't pay attention and when they're not doing what they're supposed to do. But if, as a teacher, you just go out there and say, go ahead, do it. And if I tell you, put your foot on the brake, put your foot on the brake. Otherwise, just do whatever you want to do, you know. And they go out and they do it, and then they don't put their foot on the brake when you tell them. So what you have to do is just say again and again and again. Now, I hate to keep referring to my dog here, but he is a wonderful guy. And I call him to me, come, and he doesn't come. I call him to me and I say, come on, come back, we're going to go for a walk. He doesn't come. I leave the table and he's laying next to my chair and he doesn't even bother getting up. When he feels like it, he gets up and wanders to the door to go out for a walk with me. But you see, he's so self-confident. He is so confident in his own choices and his own decisions that he's not concerned that, oh boy, we're going for a walk. Oh boy, we're going to do this. You see, he's just at peace. And then I started breaking up little cookies, you know, these little things that you give to the puppy. And I give him, you know, one little piece, just a mouthful. It said, never give him enough to chew, just enough to get the taste. And so I do this, and I say, come, Rex. And he comes racing across, and I say, good boy, good boy. And we do that maybe 8 or 10, maybe 15, 20 times a day. And he'll learn. He'll learn. But I have to be patient. I have to be patient. And that's very important. You know, I have a very dear friend of mine who married a woman who's a doctor. And in his writings, he writes about medicine and doctors and so forth. And he says that she has patience. And he spells it patience, not a person who is a patient, but one who has a peaceful attitude of mind, patience. And it amuses me, you know. And this is what we can often do. But the rotten thing about it is that if he can't spell patience, what is he referring to? Maybe he really is referring to the ability to have patience. And you see, we run away from these things, but when we misuse the language or we misuse the expression, in the beginning, Ellen used to say things that you know, were quite close to being true, but not quite there, according to the English language. And I'd correct her. And she said, you know. And so then I stopped correcting her. And then other people say, isn't that charming how she misuses the English language? Isn't that charming how stupid she is? Isn't that charming? And you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's not a compliment. That's not a compliment. I wouldn't want someone to say that about me because I was not diligent in learning what I had to learn. So I explained it to her. And then all of a sudden she was eager to learn, you know. She was eager not to be stupid. But people who say you have a lovely dialect are saying you do not speak good English. If I am over in Germany and I have a lovely dialect, it's because I'm not speaking good German. And that's not a compliment. If they say, you're really trying, aren't you? You know, hey, that's a compliment, because I am trying. But, of course, we don't want to use the word trying. But if they were to say to me, oh, you have a great accent, you know, and what they're saying is that you can't say a word in German without sounding like an Englishman, you know, or like an American. And that's not a compliment. Now, I live with good nature and good sense, and I just have a ball. And I have all these people in my life who keep reminding me how to live with good nature and good sense. They all remind me, including my dog, you know. He keeps reminding me that I have to always be on top of everything. I have to always be careful. And that I read in the book that if a dog eats the doggy do, you know, it's not a bad thing. But it is not my choice. It is not my choice for him to do this. So I immediately help him get rid of it and not do it because that's my choice. I consider my good nature, my good sense says that it's not a good thing to do. So when little babies do something that is not bothersome to them, but it's bothersome to the parents just have to teach the child that that's not an acceptable thing, you know? Like if a child would make a mess and then his diapers would fall down and then he'd go over and he'd play in the mess and say, oh, goody, goody, you know, wet dirt. And to the child, that's what it would be. He would not think of it as being bad. because he doesn't visualize anything as being bad in his world. And so Rex doesn't visualize anything being bad. He just found a little cookie along the way. Mm-hmm. And you just have to teach him that he does not eat cookies along the way. He does not eat anything other than what I give him. And if he eats anything other than what I give him, he's going to have to, you know, go through training school again. Because it is not a good idea. Anybody could give him something that wouldn't be good for him. Not because they want to hurt him, but some well-meaning person would come along and give him a chocolate bar. Or, what was it, the love or button? They got up on the table and they ate a whole chocolate bar. What was that, love?
Yeah.
There was a chocolate bar up on the table. And love had a little taste of it. And so when no one was around, he got up on the table, ate the whole thing, and left the paper, you know, spread around. But he ate the whole thing. Now, that could kill him. Mm-hmm. Now, that it didn't, we're blessed, but it could kill him because his system is not used to having anything that rich and that strong, and there are certain elements in chocolate which are not harmonious with a dog's body. He doesn't have the digestive system to handle that. You think he could handle anything, you know, but he doesn't have the digestive system to handle that. So we have to be very careful when we take a responsibility. And I was a parent, and he grew up. And now I'm a parent again. And he's growing up. And in the process of growing up, he's doing all the things that babies and teenagers do. And so I just have to take it in stride and not get my dander up, because he should learn, he should know, you know, he should know everything that I know. And it doesn't work that way. So if we have a good nature and a good sense, we can get through virtually anything in life. And if my friend who had this unhappy girlfriend could just not acknowledge the unhappiness at all, just acknowledge that the girl is great, exactly what he wants, exactly who, and the girl is exactly who he wants. And then we talked about another girl this morning, and she was having difficulties too. And what's her difficulty? Her difficulty is that she does not do one particular thing that is extremely important. And can any of you say what that three-letter word is? She does not live in the...
Now
her boyfriend is her boyfriend. Now he is wonderful. Now he's fantastic. Now. You don't say later.
No.
Yeah, you just say now. And you keep that in your mind. And so he comes around and now he's great. Now he's wonderful. And you treat him like now he's great. And all of a sudden he acts that way because that's how you created him, you know? And so if she would live in the now, it would be done. And your telephone call this morning, they want that, what is it, 2,000 acre ranch or something? Mm. They want the 2,000, they'll never get it. Until he says, now I have it. That's just the simplest little statement. But if he says, now I have it, then what happens? Now he's got it. He acts as though he does and he has it. And that's wonderful, isn't it? So this is all a matter of a good nature and a good sense. Have you seen things happen when you were positive about it? Have you seen things not happen when you were positive about it? Mm-hmm. But you were not positive. You were worried about it. You were concerned about it. When you were positive, yep, I'm going to go downtown and buy myself a new dress. And you went downtown and bought yourself a new dress. And there was no doubt about it. Now, I'm going downtown and look for a new dress. Maybe I'll find one. Maybe the right color will be there. But I kind of doubt it because they haven't had that color in that I like so much. And but I want to get this new dress, and I you know, what's going to happen? You won't find a dress. Or you find the dress and it's going to cost $700. It's an outrageous thing, you know? But the thing is, when you say, I'm going in town today to buy myself a bonnet, you know, to buy a dress, and then go and buy it. And put no limitation on it. So, that's the story, and that's the way it goes, and that's where we are. So, I want you all to have a lovely day, and remember, this is instant illumination. If you will live in the now And if you will have live with good nature and good sense, you will have all of the results right now. So, I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.